The Lord has a word on my heart this morning, and I hope we'll be able to deliver it in good time, you know, not too long a time. It's the trespass offering. The trespass offering. We are trespassing one against another without knowing it sometimes. The law of the trespass offering says you are guilty of a trespass when you know it. When you find out that you have trespassed, you have become guilty. And therefore, there's a certain amendment to make. The reason we need to make the amendment is because we are dealing with Christ. In dealing with the body, we are not just dealing with people, but we are dealing with Christ. And everything we do to people, we are doing it unto Christ. Worse than that, when you do it to yourself, you do it to Christ also. Some people will ill-treat themselves, not realizing that as much as you do it unto the least of these, Jesus says, you do it unto me. In other words, I'm just telling you the whole gist of the message, that we are dealing with the body of Jesus Christ himself. And in this last hour, the Lord is teaching us how to get into that place. How the word in Revelation says that the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, and the angel cried and said, God has tabernacled himself within man. Hallelujah. So we are coming to the Feast of Tabernacles, and to the time of God and man becoming one unit and moving as God, not as man. In other words, people have a way to say, oh, but it's human, you know, it's human. God is saying it's time to stop being human and become divine. We are not supposed to be human at this time. We are migrating from humanity, the human nature, into the divine nature. This is the place where we're going to put all the psychiatrists at naught. Those who would expect to read a Christian. I know we have some Christian psychologists and Christian psychiatrists, but let me tell you something. The time is that when you get before a Christian, the psychiatrist would be at sea, because if he's going to look at the facial expressions, he's going to see the expressions of the spirit. He wouldn't be dealing with a human being. He would be seeing the expressions that the Holy Spirit wants you to have at that particular time. If he's going to watch the mental processes by asking you questions, he's going to be getting the questions from the Holy Spirit, answered by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he, and the most he can do for you, will be to pronounce you as insane. Amen. This is what is happening. People are not again manifesting what people ought to be, but they are manifesting what the Spirit wants them to be. So that at any given time, at any given moment, when you are in the Spirit, you will be manifesting Spirit and not humanity. And this is what we see coming forth in the church, among the people. We are not dealing anymore with people, human beings. We are dealing with the Spirit of God in human beings. And so whatever you do to people, you have to be careful. When God says in his word, husbands, agape your wives. Amen. I saw some very strange teaching on that, and I was surprised that anyone could get anything out of it except what it said. Husbands, treat your wives as sons of God. And that's a different dimension entirely. It's a higher dimension. Men like to treat their wives as their little pets. Men like to treat their wives as, you know, just wives. People to obey you and to follow you around. God said, husbands, wake up. Get spiritual. Treat your wives as sons of God. Agape, your wives. look at them on a higher level than the filial love level. Now, before I go any further, let me turn back and go into the scriptures. Even in the Old Testament, the trespass offering, God has been giving little signs here and there that the trespass offering didn't mean, God's not interested in the blood of goats and bulls and rams. We see that in Psalm 51:16. Let's just check a few of these scriptures and get an idea that God from the beginning was teaching that the offerings had other meanings besides the Old Testament meaning. In Psalm 51:16-17 says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." You know, this goes right along with what we were learning this morning, that the sacrifices of God, the offering of God, the altar of burnt offering, incense, is the prayers, the soul being put into one little bundle and sent up to God. And when God hears the cry of a soul, it is impossible for God not to answer. Amen. This is the reason God's lifting us up on another level, a higher level, no longer rituals, no longer because I'm belonging to the body, because I'm singing a song with everybody and clapping hands and dancing. God is hearing me. God is looking at the dancing heart. God is looking at the singing heart. God is looking at that part of your being that is being offered up to Him as a sacrifice. And as this offering continues, it creates within you a permanent state of offering. Can you understand that? I was speaking to some brethren about the gifts of the Spirit. Most people think the gifts of the Spirit is the end. That is, oh, I've got it. I've got the gift of tongues. I've got the gift of interpretation of tongues. I've got the gift of prophecy. And you get up and prophesy. I've got the gift, you know, ministering the word or whatever. No gift of God is an end in itself. It is given for a purpose. The purpose is twofold. The purpose is one, to the body, and two, to the person. So if you have a gift and you don't use the gift, you are denying the body and retarding your own growth. Follow me? Now, you are, how do I grow when I prophesy to you? Thus saith the Lord God, so and so. Well, let me tell you a very, very simple thing. That one time I remember laying hands on a person and having a perception coming through my mind. That's just like a little thought that come through my mind while I lay the hands on the person. And I was ashamed, afraid to speak it. I never said it. And, well, nothing happened. And so one day I went to visit a church. And I thought I heard the Lord say to me, "Well, you should call these people and lay hands on them one by one. The church, there are 100 people sitting down there. You must call them up and lay hands on them one by one." And so I said, "Lord, if it's really you tell that sister who is in charge of the service to tell me to do that." And of course, it's all, God's always ready for a good bargain, you know. No, I really know it. I've seen it. I remember going to a man one day and saying to him, "Man, if you'll accept Jesus Christ, Jesus is going to make you live." Because the guy was dying. He had a bullet in his brain. And he was supposed to be dead. and he couldn't hear me according to the doctors. But I went to this dead man and said to him, if you make a contract covenant with me, I'm a representative from God, and I've come to make a contract with you. He said, if you will accept the Lord, promise to serve him for the rest of your life, I offer you life. I mean, you know, that was really a bold statement, but nobody else was hearing, and so I wasn't too much afraid. You know what the dead man said? He said, thank you. And I was so shocked. The guy hadn't spoken a word for 5 days. He got a bullet in his head. They were just waiting on him to die in the hospital. He said, thank you, and that gave me courage. He got up out of that hospital bed and came out. And praise God. So, let me go back to what I was saying. Where was I now?
Your sister, God has to tell her.
Praise the Lord. Okay. So, she turned around and said, all right, Brother Dussel is going to pray for every one of you here this morning. I said, just get in line here. She didn't ask me. She said, get in line, everybody. It gave me heart, you know, and okay. But all of a sudden, I was sure that sister down the bottom there, she was, I had a word for her. And I start wherever I'm sure first. Do you know that? that's the way it is. Did you call her, lay hands on her, said something to her, said, oh, sister, I saw, as I lay hands, I really perceived. I mean, it could be my own imagination, brethren. I'm just telling you how some of you got your gift sitting down on him. That's what I'm talking about. And that is a trespass against the church. You know that. I want you to make your trespass offerings this morning. You're trespassing against somebody's property because you got something to give somebody and you're not giving it. I lay hands on her and I barely kind of imagined or thought that I saw a little black thing right before her. And I didn't know what else to say, so I said, sister, I said, you have a stumbling block before you. And brethren, believe me, as I said it, the word came in my mind, marriage. I said, are you supposed to marry somebody? No. Can you imagine? You don't know if the person is married. The devil said to me, suppose she's married. Well, I just had to take the chance because there's a long line of people down there waiting. So I said, you're going to be married, and that's a stumbling block. She said, oh no. No, Elder, she called me, Elder Dussel. She said, no, Elder Dussel, I'm going to marry to Elder so-and-so. I got myself in trouble now. God, the prophesy against one of the elders. And rather, I said, well, nevertheless, she said, I know what it is. She said, it is something in the past. She was frightened. Said, I know what it is. It is something in the past. And she began to tell me quickly about the past, that it was a teacher who she was to me. I said, well, I see it as something right before you, right now. And she said, oh no. And she took off. Brother, hallelujah. I was sorry that I didn't press the point, that I didn't take it to the elders, because the other elders knew what I didn't know. But we're in an organized church and so on, and I didn't press the point. It turned out so bad, that now that man is in prison for murder. It went so bad, I should have stopped it, if I could, at least. Maybe I couldn't, but I should have really put my neck out. And you know, that's it, how it goes. And the more I began to do that, the more powerful the thought began to come. And I got so sure that I could go down there and lay hands on any Mr. Man and just talk what comes forth. A few nights ago, a young, strong man came up to me. He wanted prayers. I lay hands on him and said, I see that death has come your way many times, that you have been in desperate positions, near to death, but you know why you're alive and here tonight? Because God says you're a chosen vessel. The man wept, accepted Jesus as his Savior. Then he told the story. He's just coming out of prison. He has 3 bullet marks in his stomach. He's been shot many times. A terrible situation. And he didn't know why he was alive. And that word shook him so badly that he came. Now, this is what I'm saying. I don't know why I say these things, but it comes a perception in my mind. Once your mind is clear, and you're going to pray for somebody and something comes to you, it's a gift of the Spirit working in you. And the gift of God is in every single human being sitting down here. And if you don't use it, you're trespassing against the body of Christ. But then there's another problem. Where are you going to use it? You need to find the right place to use it. And if you're in a place that you can't use it, you need to get out of that place and get into a place where you can use it. Well, bless his holy name. I've got in trouble now. All right. Yes, in all over the scriptures, God speaks of mercy and not sacrifice. He wants mercy. But I want you to turn your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 6. And I want you to read with me. All of us will read together. It's a King James I have here, but I suppose if you're reading another one, it would make any difference. We read aloud together from verse 9 and to verse 30. Come on, ready? After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. This is the most powerful prayer that ever anyone could ever pray. If you ever understand this prayer, it will keep you all day wandering. You pray, for instance, that God would come into your heart and your soul and reign in your soul even as he reigned in heaven. He's reigning now in heaven. Do you know that's what you said? Then you said again that you wanted some bread, daily bread. Did you ever think of that? That every day there's a portion of spiritual life that God dishes out to you as his child. Like in your home, every day you spread a table for your kids. You give them a breakfast and you provide for their lunch and you look about their supper or whatever, and these kids look to you for their daily bread in the natural. Well, just as they do, you say, Father, today there's a portion for me of energy and life from the throne of God. Give us this day our portion. That's what you're saying. Now, if you pray that every day, every morning, then you'll find that you go looking for where that life is coming from God to you. Now, I'm coming to that presently. Now, you said, forgive us. Instead of debts, let's say trespasses, in the same manner and to the same degree to which. Now this is terrible. You're asking God to forgive you as much as you forgive somebody else. Don't you see this is one of the reasons why most of us are not getting on in the spirit? Because we are not forgiving to somebody, and yet we expect forgiveness. This is one of the reasons why some of the prayers we pray are not being answered. Because God cannot forgive an unforgiving heart. You have no capacity to receive if you do not have the capacity to give. Because the capacity to give, to receive, is measured by the capacity to give. What am I talking about? I'm saying that the same instrument or passage that you use to forgive, that's the same one you use to receive forgiveness. And you cannot receive more forgiveness than you give. Do you know, I've discovered that one of the persons that is hardest to forgive is yourself. Many of you refuse to forgive yourselves for things you have done. And I have seen people do great works for God and yet carry unforgiveness in their heart to such a point that they need I'm trying to call the right name. They need a program, a psychological program to help them to forgive. Oh yeah. Did you hear of a program called Healing of the Memories? Do you know that it's somebody who took the principles of psychology and put it together with the principles of God and use it as a mixture to help some people who couldn't be helped by just the principles of God? Yeah, you're a person falling from a position, and the last limb they can catch on to was somebody with a psychological program that was geared to help them, and it does help some. Don't let anyone deceive you. The program helps some people, but it couldn't help a person if he was walking in the Lord, in the place he ought to be. But if you fall from that position, and you cannot get back to that position because of the nature of your condition, the condition of your fall, then you have to get somebody putting together a psychological program with the gospel to help you up where you are fallen below the position you should have been. So praise be to God. Here we see then a scripture saying, Lord, if I trespass against my brother, you can only forgive me of my trespasses against you as much as I forgive the brother who trespasses against me. So we come to a point of the trespass offering. Let's just read a little scripture about this trespass offering. Turn to Leviticus chapter 6. And we read from verse 1 to 7 so that we can understand the basis or the law of trespass as we begin to apply it to ourselves. Leviticus 6, 1 to 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, that's sinning therein, then it shall be because he had sinned and is guilty that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he had deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he had sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish, out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. Verse 7. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he had done in trespassing therein. Now, if you notice how broad the trespass is, and if you notice at the beginning it said that you trespass against the Lord. It wasn't the Lord you did that to. It was Israel. So now God has turned the whole thing from the natural Israel to the spiritual Israel. So now the great lesson we want to learn this morning is that in walking in the Spirit, we not only feed on Jesus from the body of Christ, but we also feed the body of Christ from the Jesus, or from the Christ within us. So the dimension of understanding that we want to see here is that we cannot reach perfection until our actions one to another is perfected. Can you see that? But I personally don't feel that we need any more power from God to come into this place of perfection that we are aiming for. I don't feel that we need any more glory to come down on us. I don't feel that we need to say, oh God, give us some more. You know, I think we need to say, God, take away the hindrance. But right now, there is a hindrance in the church that is preventing us from growing. The first thing that the devil did to us was to begin to teach the church that Jesus Christ is coming from on high, and we must look for Jesus up there, and that the coming of Jesus is from on high up in the sky. Now, this kind of teaching puts you in a condition that you stop looking down here, and you begin to look up there. So the Jesus coming from on high, it prevents you seeing that Jesus must first come from within the church. In other words, if Christ Jesus does not come inside of you here, there's no use you looking up for a Jesus Christ that will be coming from an eye. Therefore, the accent of perfection lies, the accent of gaining heaven lies within the human being himself and his relationship to other human beings. That is, we have seen men treat their wives horribly and go to church and preach like Paul. How can that be possible? If you cannot treat the person who is nearest to you as if Christ, as it was Christ himself, then nobody else you're going to treat right. It's all a facade. It's all a veneer. It's all a put-on. Therefore, if we begin to check back on ourselves, check back on how we deal with our children, how we deal with our husbands and wives at home, we are no better in church than we are at home. Worse than that, how do you treat the people who really hurt you and give you a hard time? That is a measure of your spiritual stature. That is a measure of how much Christ you really have in you. Amen. So it's not learning more scriptures. I got a lot of them here. I won't bother to give you that. It's not learning more scriptures. It's not understanding deeper revelations. But it is walking in the revelation of Christ, which you can contain within. Because there are some vessels that are small vessels, some are larger vessels. That is, you will contain more of the revelation of Christ within you than the other person. But then, it doesn't make you better. Because God is expecting a certain dimension of operation from each individual. According to the capacity that God has created within you to receive and to give. Then there are some who trespass against the body of Christ by receiving and not giving. Because the pronounced, the announced, the written intention of God in Ephesians chapter 4, and I think verse 13, it says that God's intention is that the body, the church, should minister. How would you like to have a body and you feed that body all day, just feeding the body, and your body just can't do anything, just lazy, sit down there, eating food and not producing anything? This is what God is saying. God is has called the ministry. And every true minister of God will minister to the body of Christ, that the body of Christ might minister. For there are some of us who minister to the body of Christ in order that the body might always want ministry from us. But God is saying that the minister, the true minister of God, ministers to a body in order that the body might come up and minister. And the fruit of the ministry is in you. Amen. Whatever you come to be, that is the fruit of the one who has ministered to you. So therefore, God is saying that he's looking for a ministering body. A body without compassion. Huh? A body without love. A body without compassion for the poor. You know, sometimes it hurts me to pass a man on the street asking for a lift. I remember one day I went to visit a church, a body, and the minister took me up in his car. And here was a guy with long hair, and his bag beside him, standing on the street side, frantically begging for a lift. It was snowing, and the snow was coming down through his hair, and it was cold, man. And we were in a warm car, two of us alone. And the guy passed me and said, you're not going to pick the man up out of the snow, even to drop him at the next corner where we can get into a building? He said, oh, no. See, probably he was afraid. But, you know, sometimes I would rather to be robbed than not to do a thing like that. It hurt me for years. It stayed with me. You know, a man was out on the highway in Dallas one day, an older man, his car broke down, begging a lift. It was cold, nobody would stop. He died right there. With all the cars passing, he died. Amen. Jesus Christ is bringing up a body with compassion. Not just for those of your own kind, not just compassion for your own family, but a body with God-given compassion. Hallelujah. And so, the trespass could be that you have received more than you have given. That you have been receiving more than you produce. You know this thing? It came to me some time ago. Oh, God, keep pumping life into this church. Keep pumping life into this church. And how the church is producing less than God is giving to us. Where is the rest of it going? You know it goes off into waste. Because that which you don't use, you don't have. How you beat that? God is pumping life into us. And if you think you've got a lot of life, and you sit down there in it, you better believe it, you don't have it. You're not a storehouse for life. You're not some kind of a battery that takes up. Anytime you reach the maximum of your charge, you start throwing it away. You don't use it. It's energy wasted. God is saying to us this morning that there is a trespass that we, as the body of Christ, are guilty of all manner of trespasses. You go back and read the whole of the trespass offering. I have all these things here, but I don't think the Lord wants us to read through all these legal things. But what one of the law says that if you that sometimes you trespass and you don't know you are trespassing. Sometimes you hurt someone and you don't know you have hurt the person. But the moment you find out, the Bible says you are guilty. If you don't know, you're not guilty until you know. But when you do know, you are guilty and you must make amends. And so I want you to look at this Matthew 25 and somewhere around verse 40. Jesus was speaking, giving a parable here, and he spoke of the time at the end when all men shall appear before him, and he shall say, then shall the king say in verse 34 unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat, thirsty ye gave me drink, I was a stranger, ye took me in, naked ye clothed me, sick ye visited me, I was in prison, ye came unto me. Now you watch this, that whenever Jesus speaks, he speaks with depth. And it doesn't mean that the first dimension you must throw it away. No, sir. You must start with the first dimension. Actually, Jesus is saying that we need to take care of the poor. Actually, physically, naturally. I know some people who are too spiritual to take care of the poor. I know some people who are too spiritual to visit the sick. You better believe it. You better believe it that Jesus is speaking through all three dimensions, the natural, the spiritual, the fullness. You see, I am one of those who are guilty of always telling people about the spiritual dimensions because people need to be spiritual. But I don't think we need to teach people to be natural. That's the reason I don't bother too much about the natural, but we're going to have to see that when Jesus speaks about giving to the poor, you watch his ministry. When Jesus spoke to Judas at the table there and said, what you have to do, go do it quickly. Do you remember what the brethren thought he was saying? That he was sending off some money or something to give the poor. So that means Jesus had a program of using his treasury for the benefit of the poor. Amen. May God help us, brethren, that we never get so spiritual that we forget to be just natural. Yes. In doing the right thing. Amen? All right. But, yeah, I mean, I stick on it because I've been in groups where we have been so spiritual that it would be against, they would get up and walk out if I ever told them that this scripture was saying in the first dimension, you must look after the poor. Can you imagine that? Oh, I know brethren who would get up and walk out on me right now. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. But, all right. Hallelujah. I hope they get the tape, though. So, these brethren didn't even know that they were doing these things. Isn't it the key? They said, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty gave thee drink? When saw we thee, stranger, and took thee in, naked or clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And brethren, it was not figuratively speaking. You know, somebody might say, oh, this is only in figure or in type. Jesus was saying that you did it to him. You know why? Because Christ is in you. And his interest is in you. And every action, every thought, everything that happens to you works together for good to bring you onto that Christ image that he's taking you. So if somebody gives you a cup of water because you're a Christian, it is not because you are John Brown. But he's giving Christ. And whatever you do to one another, brethren, you are doing it to Christ. Were you mad at somebody? Did you get tired of somebody bothering you? Did you react to something that somebody was doing? Then you are doing it unto Christ. Because that person wanted a vision of Christ from you. And you denied. You denied him the vision. Can you understand what we're talking about? The trespass offering. How we trespass against one another and against God. How we trespass in our thoughts. Trespassing your thoughts against someone. Somebody was dying. I'm going to show you a spiritual picture. A picture which God showed me, really. And I don't think anybody else could have shown me beside God. Here is John Brown. He has been disobedient to God. He's passed all his chances. He's rejected the Spirit wanting to help him. He's forgotten to do the right things. He's done all the wrong things. And he's now in trouble. The trouble is in that the devil quotes the scripture and said, God, you said that the wages of sin is death, and this man has done enough, and he's mine. I need him to work him over. He's my property. The angels of God, which God sent to be guardian angels for Mr. John Brown, they have to back off. Because they have no right to intervene where the man has himself given himself to these devils. They can't do anything about it. God himself in heaven can't break his own rule and send an angel to zap the devil, to take him off of this guy. What's going to happen next? The angels of God, the guardian angels, the Holy Spirit, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, came to Rick and said, Rick, do you remember a guy named John Brown? But Rick is busy at his office. Right, and just at that moment, he's in a deep study of the Word. The angel come, and all of a sudden, John Brown flashes before him. He puts down his pen. Said, Jesus, send help to this man, whatever, wherever he is, whatever his condition is. You know what happened? Immediately, the law of war, because these angels go by different laws, right? One soul has the right to intervene for another soul. And the moment you pray, God's Spirit can intervene and set the guy free, though he never was worthy of it. Do you remember the brother David going hungry, he and his men hungry, going to the priest and said, give me the showbread. Unlawful against every law, but he was the anointed of God. And anybody he gave that showbread to, it was legal. He took the showbread and gave it to the man. Nothing happened to them, they ate it. You have the right to reach into the treasury of God and take out healing, take out deliverance, and give it to some people who were never worthy of it. A woman came to Jesus, she said, Lord, my daughter is sick. Said, oh, by what law can I take the children's bread and give it to the dog? Amen. The woman said, by the law, by the same law, that the crumbs from the table go to the dogs. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I've never seen such faith. Said, you have it. You got it made. See, so this is the circumstances that seem to be so mountainous in our lives, in the physical and in the natural. They have a way of being worked out in the spiritual. And this is how God works it out. You know, I'm going down the street, and all of a sudden, I saw the back of a man's neck. And the man looked exactly like Harry, from the back of his neck. And I go around his face. He doesn't even look like him. You know what I realized right away? The Spirit is trying to bring Harry to my mind. By one means or another. Things like that happen to you, don't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I was someplace 2 weeks ago, I believe. I saw Jimmy here. I just couldn't get away from the man. This man was dear, and every time the man moved around, he was Jimmy. And I realized that God was saying, just pray for Jimmy. And this is what you learn through usage year after year, and sometimes you didn't pray and something happened and you learned from that. So, brethren, let us be spiritual. And let us see if we could move up to be even considered among the first fruits company. Because do you know that we are the people who God is selecting the first fruit company from? It's good to know that, don't you? It's good to know that God is now selecting the first fruits company. He's not going to select me because I'm a preacher. Hallelujah. I know there was a long ago that somebody was saying all the preachers are going to go in first. Hallelujah. But God gave me a lesson one time. He told me it's the backbenchers. It's the people who nobody knows. The little old ladies and the little people who are in the corners really praying and serving God with all their heart. Amen. That will reign and rule with Christ. So you see, everyone here has a chance. But before you can be selected, you are going to have to willingly surrender that thing in you that is preventing this work. Come now, I'm preaching on the negative. Not the positive now. Not get up here and get the power from heaven. No, sir. I've seen men with power who could speak the word and you'll be healed, but they couldn't live one day righteous. You hear me? Power comes from the Spirit. This we are talking about is an endowment in the soul. That your mind must get under Christ. That your emotions, your will, your desires, these are the things God is talking about that you can do something about. And I bring the last thought, flashes to me, that God just gave me a revelation some weeks ago, months ago maybe, that the prophet John, Brother John, in the Revelation, he saw, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 1, he saw the book, and the book was written in and off, and on the back side of the book, there were seven seals. Brethren, not until you get through the book and reach to the back side, you're going to get into the deeper things of God. The back side of the book had the seals, the seven seals. You had to turn every page. You have to go right through and get to the back side of the book before you could discover the seal. Amen. People on the surface don't get anything. What surface? Freedom. But as you get deeper, you get the greater understanding with God. The trespass offering, we're not talking of it on the surface here, but we are talking of it down there. And God is saying that we can even trespass against God and against the body by not giving the body that which God has given us to give them. God bless you. In Jesus' name.